We are here, Jeremy.
Yes.
Matt Davidson is here. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. We're going to do chapter four.
Chapter four.
So you do your thing.
Right. Hey, my hand! Chris gritted his teeth and slammed his hand into a watermelon half, trying not to electrocute himself. God passed by, but Chris wasn't looking. Jesus H. Lindy, how could you say that about my ass? Me, Lindy exclaimed. That wasn't me, you jackass. That was Palmolive. Don't fuck with me, slut, Chris protested, foaming at the mouth. You can at least dole out some truth. But I don't know what happened, Lindy lied. She hissed at the dummy and took her hand out of its ass. Why do you think I'd make it say bad words, Chris? Mr. Powell threw salt from the sofa. You can't call your sister a slut, Mr. Powell ordained. Tell her you're sorry that she's a slut. Lindy hissed at Palmolive's head moved. I'm not the dummy. The dummy said in its best, oh, fuck!
Can I start over?
No, keep going.
Ah, fuck.
It's part of the meme.
Yeah, okay. I'm not the dummy. The dummy said in its best Margaret Dumont voice. No, I was talking to Chris, Mr. Powell said, cruising for multiple bruisings. I don't want you to talk for Palmolive. I want you to talk for Chris. Try it. Okay, okay, Wendy murmured from her toes. Eventually, she looked at Chris's fury. I'm sorry. Eat me. This came out of Palmolive, but Chris was moving his chops. Chris was so stunned, he started caning the dummy with its own cane. Palmolive pushed back at him with imaginary talons. And now, why don't you just fuck off, Chris asked Lindy. Lindy knew she was in good with the homeboys, and she knew that the sofa was nearby, and she knew that this sentence had gone on so long that her mother was bound to interrupt it. Why all the drama, Mrs. Powell said on cue, pretending to care about Lindy? You know, it's actually very infantile. Lindy knew her mom needed a rubber room. Palmolive is mine! Why can't you get that through that thick sea moss of yours? There are times when you're a good little girl, and there are times when you're just a vicious little... Mrs. Powell's voice set itself on fire. Mr. Powell started to send out for the fire brigade, but then he felt the silliest salad on a ladder. How come you can't move your head like that dummy can? He asked Chris, insinuating that Palmolive had more dexterity than Chris. Captain Spaulding and Rufus T. Firefly combined. That's because his talons are out getting waxed and his dentures are in a hacky sack getting kicked up and down the block, Lindy told him, and then asked to have her words refunded. I just know that I'm tired of his sad ass. I don't want Chris to be Palmolive's manager, Lindy thought, trisquitedly. Why can't they get it through their pretzel-like minds that Palmolive is mine and mine only? Why don't they crush Chris's copycattedness under their thumb like they squashed his self-image? It could be because Chris's dentured had passed their execution date. It could be a parking lot of things. Despite there being a parking lot of possibility, Lindy knew that there was only one parking lot attendant, and that was good. That was God. And God, in his infinite wisdom and compassion, would surely crush anyone who fucked with Palmolive. Later that night, Chris was able to make sense out of all this insensitivity with the help of his camel. It told him that he had not one, but two certifiably loony parents. Someone or something is trying to persecute me. Chris tried to listen to his heart, but lately it was beating so furiously that he couldn't hear it. But what or who? He couldn't listen any longer. He looked at his already red face on the milk carton and wondered when his heart and his life would return to their normal beatings. The milk was warm and his thinking was moving through the window, trying to find a way out. Lindy was profoundly sleeping when Chris's camel came in and licked her face. Its large head was like a tablecloth that lingered when it should have been eating frankenberries. Chris looked at his watch by the mess of the moon, signaling for his camel. It was 3 a.m. His desperation having become complete, Chris lapsed into total disorientation. His heart told him to move forward, but his thinking mind told him he had gone totally persnickety. When the color and countenance returned to his face, it would have been too late. God vaulted halfway down from heaven and threatened to recombinate everyone's DNA, pointing out mass human rights violations and petting Chris's camel. When sense had been restored, everyone looking into the sky for some much-needed attention. Chris was through with letting his silly thoughts escape out the window, and he was through looking at his own face on the milk carton. After breathing heavily, God decided not to vault the rest of the way down and fuck with Palmolive. The blue porch light protected everyone from the moon's piercing rays. It was a good, but syntactically
silly sentence that was inclined to reach more for cheap laughs than it was to branch out for brazen silliness. It was the eternal question. Which congealed first, the mucus-ridden baloney or his eyes poked out by the moonlit night? Chris led himself to looking at a mirage. Or was it really that fucking dummy that he saw by the moon of a silvery light? Because without thinking, he had cursed himself, his house, and the salivating silence of his camel. A pie came crashing out of the silence and slammed right into Chris's pus. He pushed the pie crust from his eyes and looked just in time to see his thoughts fly out the window without looking back. Palmolive was looking at him with the lamest adding machine eyes he had ever seen. Those eyes were so perverse that every time Chris looked at them, they became perverser. The 25th time he looked, the dummy's eyes were like mercury and halibut. Chris now wanted to beat on the dummy like it was a pint-sized pinata. His hand was tiring, and he couldn't make out his face on the milk carton now that the moon had decided not to be so bright. His head, like his hand, was sleepy, so sleepy that he started to hallucinate. Chris started hitting the offending hand with a tire iron. What? Slam? R? Slam? You? Slam? Ruining? Could this be burlapped hand of Palmolive? Could a dummy render Chris even dumber? No. Maybe later in the narrative, but not now. Chris saw God counting and then realized that his breathing was becoming agitated. Why am I hallucinating about this stupid dummy, he thought. In the calm that followed, he could hear Lindy hissing at a gargantuan and salacious pace. Chris sat and watched his thoughts float back through the window and into Palmolive's beady little eyes. Suddenly, her eyes moved back and forth like she was watching someone ladle out an otter on a tennis court. If you had any sins, the time to repent was now, before the bomb gets dropped. Nothing is stupider than a dummy that wears mascara, Chris thought out into the void. The void was nearby, and it pushed on his world when it wasn't looking. The creepy, rigid little dummy came with a cost. It shook its head, and the sound made everyone gulp in fear of this silly, glorified showroom dummy. Chris watched Palmolive's head swivel, first with a feeling of satisfaction, then with a mounting ceiling of fatisfaction. The dummy's cerebral cortex was made of wood, but it had been made with care. It would last longer than apathied. Since it didn't sleep or eat, it was as surely as Chris's camel. She didn't have a dad, and that was more than a passing trauma. It was the reason Palmolive let Lindy put her hand into its bowels and say, "Repeat after me."
Oh, Jeremy.
Yes?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was fun. Sorry, I fucked up the beginning.
You did not fuck up the beginning. That was great.